Hello, a very good day to you all, and welcome back to the new season in La Liga. And of course, that means once again, we are back with Marca on Eye on La Liga, the Spanish football, English-speaking podcast, bringing you all the news and views from around the beautiful game, from the beautiful country that is España. I'm Ollie Wilson, your host. Joining me on the first show of the season, two of the finest minds that Marca has to offer. First and foremost, a man who was left a little dismayed at the back end of last season for all things going on in English football. Hopefully the summer has cleared his spirits, lifted them high, and he's ready for a new season. Mr. Mark Mayo joining us on the show. Mark, how are you doing, mate?
I'm all good. I'm just about recovered from the past season, and luckily there's plenty to capture my attention in this season.
Wonderful stuff. Glad to hear you're a little happier than you were on the last show of last year. As well on the show today alongside Mark is a man that really needs no introduction because his logo is plastered all over his emails and I'm sure all over the web in various places. It's Simon the Brand Harrison, as I'm going to call him this season. Simon, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Back out to Spain soon. And the summer's been quite long and there's been a lot of friendlies which haven't really meant a great deal. So it'll be good to get back down to the proper stuff.
Have you had the personal marketing team as well on the case over the summer, getting you ready for the new season as well?
I mean, I don't think there'll be too much demand in terms of merchandise, but if you want me to make you a cap especially, I'm sure I could sort you one out.
I tell you what, I'd take a cap, to be honest. With my bald head, it'd be very useful in the last dwindling weeks of the summer sun, that's for sure. It's been all bright and breezy for various teams around Spain, but there's been plenty of controversy already as the season kicked off with the Spanish Super Cup first leg on Sunday. El Clásico back-to-back to kick off the season in the first and second legs of the Super Cup. And it didn't really disappoint in the Nou Camp on Sunday evening. Real Madrid winning 3-1. And not exactly the baptism of fire that Ernesto Valverde would have wanted as the new Barcelona manager. A few questions being asked, not only about Barcelona, but also about Cristiano Ronaldo. Sent off a 5-game ban as well for pushing the referee. Booked once for taking his shirt off when he scored his super strike. The second one booked for diving, perhaps a little unjustly. Your thoughts, Mark Mayo, on the Ronaldo saga? I mean, it wouldn't be the start of a season with either Ronaldo or Messi just storming onto the front pages of the Spanish footballing news. And this time it's CR7 that's making us all have a little turn to the front pages and see what's going on. I mean, time and time again, he loves to be the showman and show off, flex his muscles, but he's going too far, surely, this time.
Yeah, it's quite literally too far, isn't it? He's got the minimum 4-game ban for the push on the ref. He could have gone to 12 if he'd have really done a full decanio and properly launched the referee across the stadium. But he's only got the 4-game with the one for the dive as well. I think that, you know, all the talk that he was moving away, I think he was looking at the Premier League and seeing how much he enjoyed playing there and how entertaining that's been the first weekend. He thought, I'll have a bit of that. We'll make some headlines here. It's quite remarkable, really, how he's only played, you know, 15 minutes of the season. Already he's scored an incredible goal, a quite stupid celebration in many respects, in hindsight at least. And then he's got sent off for diving and pushed the referee. So if he's doing that every 15 minutes of the season, it might be quite an entertaining one.
Well, Ronaldo never lets us down in the entertainment stakes, that's for sure. But this was something that I'm sure Real Madrid didn't exactly want to kick off the campaign. Simon, 4 games for the push and obviously the suspension as well for the red card. 5 games in total. Is this a bit frustrating for Zidane? It's not how he would have wanted to start the campaign, is it?
Yeah, it's certainly not an ideal way to start. But I think if last season kind of told us anything, it was that Real Madrid are a lot more than just Ronaldo. And while Barcelona perhaps are becoming more and more Messi reliant, especially with Neymar leaving, Real Madrid, they've got a lot of options. They've got obviously Benzema and Bale, they both started up front in the first leg, Ronaldo on the bench needing to make an impact, and he did make that impact. But I think what's more pertinent is just the fact that there are so many options. I think Isco is one player that's going to have a great season. Marco Asensio, he's scored a wonderful goal and he's going to be raring to play whenever he can get an opportunity to. So even though it's definitely not ideal and you do want your best players available, I think Real Madrid are definitely in a much better position to sort of cushion the blow with the other players that they have at their disposal. I think if, for example, Lionel Messi had got sent off and earned himself a 4-game ban, I think Barcelona would really be panic stations. But for Real Madrid, with the foundations they've already got in place, it's not ideal, but it's definitely not the end of the world.
Well, Isco started brightly this season, already with a goal in the UEFA Super Cup as well. A chance, perhaps, before the Liga campaign even gets underway, that Real Madrid could have two pieces of silverware already in the trophy cabinet. And to be honest, they've looked really good. I know these are considered pre-season friendlies almost, the Super Cup and the UEFA Super Cup. But there is still silverware on the line that will count in the honours list, if you will. And they've looked really up for these games. There's been no holding back and Zidane wanting to let loose. It was something that almost Valverde said, that he wanted to draw the fans in, though, with his Barca squad that he was going to select for the first leg. He wanted to get the fans excited about this new side under his leadership. Do you think they've got excited, Mark, by it?
Well, most of the fans inside the Camp Nou seem to be Real Madrid fans on the first leg of the Super Cup. But it was really strange, wasn't it? But I think the fans, or the Barcelona fans at least, will be kind of dismayed by how they did start because of the yawning gap of Neymar in that team was so obvious. And I think the fans are just waiting for the new signing, really. If they're going to want some entertainment at the Camp Nou, they need a fully balanced team. And it was unbalanced in the first leg. Valverde wasn't the problem. It was quite clearly the playing staff just didn't have that extra little bit. The luck certain times didn't go their way. And yeah, I think Valverde, he's right to want the fans on his side because he needs it, and he needs the Camp Nou to be a little bit more active than it was last season at times. But, you know, it's almost like they're just waiting for that new man to come in.
What about, gentlemen, the first look at MSD? Almost sounds like some sort of medical drug than MSN, of course. With De La Feu alongside Suarez and Messi in the front line. Can't see it staying that way with the money that they've got to spend, but they can't get the man they want at the moment, Barcelona. Philippe Coutinho, having offers rejected left, right and centre from Liverpool. If they end up with it being De La Feu, Suarez and Messi to start the season, is that a good enough front line for Barcelona?
I think that they can't expect to win any trophies except for perhaps the Copa del Rey with that front three. I mean, I really didn't understand the De La Feu signing. I could understand them bringing him in terms of adding some depth, but now with Neymar having gone, he really can't be expected to, you know, bear all of that responsibility. He's not really lived up to expectations at any club that he's been at. In the summer, for the Spain under-21s, he was the captain and he was comfortably the worst player in that entire squad throughout the entire tournament. And I can see that he can offer them something, but I think he would be, you know, a lot more suited to maybe coming off the bench in more of a super sub role because he's quite pacey, he's direct, he likes to drive at players, he's not afraid to have a go, and ultimately he's got a point to prove. But I think in terms of him starting the game, you know, with people expecting him to sort of bridge the Neymar gap, I think it's massively, you know, missing the mark. And I do actually think that when Denis Suarez came on as a sub in the first leg, he kind of changed the game a little bit. And I think if there's anything that he might change between going into Wednesday, it might be using Dennis out on the left-hand side, because for so long he was seen as, you know, a central midfield option, and he even played there in the summer a little bit for Spain. But I think he might just be better off out on that left-hand side. He did well for Villarreal there, so maybe he could be a bit more of the option rather than De La Feu, because for me, off the bench maybe, but as a starter, I really can't see him having much of a future at Barcelona, to be honest.
Yeah, a man that struggled at Everton at times. Did okay with AC Milan last season, but really did seem a surprising move that Barcelona would bring in De La Feu, albeit for only £10 million, which of course now is more like 10 pence in the modern transfer market. An absolute bargain to pick up any player of that. Let's talk about the transfers of the big two in Spain, of Real Madrid and Barcelona. And let's stay with Barca at the moment, with Paulinho coming in to bolster the midfield from Gonzalo Evergrande for £36 million. Nelson Semedo in at right back from Benfica for £28 million. Seems like they're trying at least to repair some of the gaps that there have been for a bit of time now in this Barcelona side, particularly at that right back position, bringing in Semedo.
I think they have. Go on, Tom.
I was just going to say, I think that the two deals that they've made kind of make sense. Obviously, with Sergio Roberto having that seemingly, you know, lifelong sentence to play at right back, now it frees him up to, you know, play a role which he might be a bit more comfortable in central midfield. So Semedo, that makes sense. They needed a right back, and that's what they've gone and bought. And I think Paulinho, he offers something a bit more robust and physical in midfield, which, you know, it's an interesting option to have. Obviously, when Real Madrid, when they first started to use Casemiro, for example, he was maybe seen as quite raw and quite physical, but you know, you've seen a progression, you've seen an appreciation of what he can bring to the side, to the point where he's arguably one of the better deeper line midfielders in the world at the moment. And I think Paulinho, while he isn't, you know, that deep line presence, he's nice and physical. And I think he would probably, you know, endeavour to get forward in a box-to-box kind of manner, maybe adds a little bit more of a goal threat from midfield, which is something that maybe Barcelona have lacked a little bit. So for me, I think the deal so far, that they've made sense, apart from maybe, as long as De La Feu is a rotation option, I think all their deals have made sense, but they just really need a big name to come in and, you know, remedy how the Barca fans will be feeling about Neymar leaving.
Yeah, I think they had to sign a right-back. I kind of lament the fact that they spent so long after Hector Bellerin and Marco Verratti, which were deals that I just never saw getting off the ground. And I kind of think the same about Coutinho still, even though Coutinho's tried as hard as anyone I've ever seen to move to Barcelona. It's quite impressive. But then you can't expect that of every player, and I think they kind of did. If you go back 12 months and with Dani Alves leaving, that was the moment to sign a Nelson Semedo, a young right-back who can, you know, compete in the first season, but maybe second, third season is the time you'll see him really come to the fore. And because they kind of hashed through with Sergio Roberto and Alex Vidal, that, you know, maybe was the reason they didn't win many trophies last year, that they've now got this season, as Alex Vidal still not a perfect right back, and Nelson Semedo, you know, is he really going to be that great this year? I don't think he's, you know, he needs some time to adapt, doesn't he?
I mean, we've barely mentioned the Neymar move. I completely agree with you, by the way, in Semedo coming in from Benfica. He's certainly going to have to take his time to get used to A, playing in that Barca style, which so many players do take a little bit more time to get used to if you haven't been ingrained, indoctrined into the Barcelona way from youth. And not only that, adapting to a new league may just take a little bit of time as well. What Simon said in terms of a big signing coming in, and you mentioned, for instance, Verratti, there were rumours about him, still rumours about him perhaps being off to Manchester United before this transfer window closes. But you would have thought, as we dare to touch on Neymar, I know it's a little old news now in terms of the 220 million euro move, to Paris Saint-Germain. But you would have thought that you could have tied in, if you were that desperate to bring in someone like Verratti, you could have tied in Verratti into that deal in some way, shape or form. I know it was buying out Neymar's contract, but there would have been, I would have thought there would have been a way to sit down at the negotiating table and work something out. Also now talks in terms of PSG Barcelona links with Angel Di Maria coming back to Spain but joining Barca. Who's going to be the big new signing that they're perhaps going to need to just reinvigorate the crowd around the Nou Camp, reinvigorate the fans, and perhaps reinvigorate this side as well, after everyone's kind of bowing their heads going, oh, well, we've lost Neymar, let's see how this goes.
I think Dembele is a bit of a foregone conclusion in a large respect, because Borussia Dortmund don't quite have the financial muscle like Arsenal, PSG, etc. to continue to turn it down. Coutinho, as I said, always seemed like a bit of a long option, but if anyone's going to force a move through, it looks like it's going to be him. Dembele will do a great job, though. I think he's so quick that he'll add that extra dimension that Suarez and Messi don't necessarily have, and he would be a not too expensive signing as well, unless Borussia continue to push the price up.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree that I think Dembele makes most sense as a direct sort of replacement, because he's young, he's quick, he's exciting, and I think that's ultimately the big thing. If he's exciting, I think people, if a player's willing to, you know, be inventive with a lot of nice tricks and flicks, I mean, sometimes it can sort of paper over more fundamental cracks in the game. But I just think that they need someone who's a bit exciting, because I really don't see how Barcelona can necessarily compete with Real Madrid domestically this season. I think Real Madrid just look too strong. So maybe it might be best for Barcelona fans to be enjoying the football that they're watching, even if ultimately it can't quite match up with what Real Madrid's squad is capable of on a consistent basis. But aside from that, I mean, I think if they can get Dembele, that'd be great. And maybe even though they have signed Paulinho, maybe a midfielder that's a little bit more in the mould of Iniesta, obviously with him being phased out, you would think, gradually over the next year and a half. But who that is, it depends. And I think there is quite a bit of discontent in the fan base that when they're bringing in these new options to sort of rejuvenate the side, it could lead to the likes of Sergio Roberto, who's, you know, a La Masia graduate, leading to him maybe being farmed out because he's not having the same opportunities. And I think just in general, Barca fans, that they're not happy at all. I mean, you only have to look at Twitter and yesterday, last night, trending. There's a lot of criticism for Bartomeu, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'd say Dembele, he would probably be the immediate signing to make if you want to appease a fan base that are looking a bit disillusioned at the moment.
That'd be interesting, obviously, with Barca fans saying, oh, we want to see the academy graduates come through, get their chance. We also want to see big signings come in. I mean, you can't have it both ways at the end of the day. You've either got to be patient, wait for another golden generation perhaps to come through La Masia, or you've got to start spending big, and they've got plenty of money to spend as well. Talk quickly about Real Madrid as well and their summer transfer dealings. Looks like Gareth Bale is going to be sticking around despite the strong rumours he was going to be off to Manchester United after the win in the UEFA Super Cup. Those were completely quashed. He was awesome in that game. There's still a lot of talk about Monaco's Mbappe as well and the ludicrous sums of money that might be thrown his way, around about €170 million. And they've made plenty of money as well, managing to ship off Morata for around about €60 million to Chelsea. Danilo's gone as well. James Rodriguez on loan at Bayern Munich. A relatively successful off-season for Zinedine Zidane's side.
I don't know, it's risky getting rid of Morata. He's guaranteed goals. I'm just a little bit uncomfortable with the whole shipping out a man who's got 20 goals, 25 goals a season. It's just a bit, I don't know, it's risky in my mind. And they haven't replaced him. I do think that Marco Asensio's long-term future is in that front three, potentially as a central striker, and we'll see Ronaldo obviously play there this year as well, but it's a risk. James was always going to go, and he's got a packed old midfield now. I think there's 7 or 8 or 9 maybe first team midfielders in the Real side, so I'm not sure how Ceballos and Marcos Llorente are going to get a game, especially when Mateo Kovacic has started the season very well.
So you think that Morata was an important one to keep hold of? I mean, I worked out there with something like only four of his goals last season were against top 10 opposition in La Liga last year.
Yeah, but he never played against these teams.
But he came off the bench. I mean, the other thing was that most of the goals came from when he was coming off the bench. He was like that super sub to have. But if he's going to be arguing that he wants to start, but whenever I saw him start and watched the full 90 minutes of that, it wasn't as impressive. It was the kind of like that Solskjaer syndrome. Plays 90 minutes, probably not going to really change a game much. If he comes off the bench, he's probably got a chance of nicking one. But that's not what you're going to want, and then have a striker saying, I want to play, I want to play, I want to play, when you know you're not going to get the best out of him if he's starting. And if he's going to kick up a fuss, surely Zidane wants to keep the energy and the positivity and chemistry
for sure,
in
yeah.
the side kind of going. Especially when he's trying to keep everybody happy already. As you say, so many midfielders to choose from. And then, of course, Simon, there's still the talk about Mbappe potentially coming in. I mean, how does he... You have to fit Mbappe in because he is quality for an 18-year-old. Forget about the quality that he shows regardless of his age. For a youngster, and the potential he has to keep on developing, this kid could be phenomenal. It's a big if, though, when he is only 18 and moving to a big club could kind of get his head turned elsewhere, the media, the money, the razzmatazz off the pitch, if you will, Simon. But they're still seemingly making a push for it, Real Madrid.
I think it would make sense in terms of the fact he's quite young. It would be a good situation to bring him in and allow him to sort of fulfil that Morata role of coming on when they need, you know, something a bit different to change a game. Obviously, he's skillful, he's very fast, he can finish. He's the full package, but you can always fall back on the fact if Zidane wanted to, that he could, you know, reiterate that, you know, he is only 18, we don't want to rush him. So maybe he would be a good figure to get in, and maybe even if he wasn't, you know, in that kind of gala 11, he would still be getting a good, you know, 18, 20 appearances in the season. And I mean, for someone his age, for a club like Real Madrid, that would still be extremely good. And I think, yeah, it's just important with what you just mentioned. I think the likes of Morata, James, Danilo, they have to go, I think, really, because when you can get a premium price for them, or with James, a premium price in the future, and obviously James was quite publicly kicking up a fuss. Morata, there were always noises coming out with certain interviews that he'd give that he would want a bigger chance. I think Real Madrid was so good last season because they had so many players that wanted to prove themselves, and I think that if these kind of players stay around for too long, it would just end up becoming a bit of a toxic situation. So I think it definitely makes sense to, you know, whenever they can, get the top prices for these you know, fringe players while they still can, and bring in some other players who want to prove themselves. And they've got this established 11 who are clearly good enough to win both La Liga and the Champions League. And obviously Mbappe could be an extra little part of that. But I think it is important to just keep that rotation. So you've always got that fresh energy coming into the team, wanting to prove themselves. Ceballos will bring that. Theo Hernandez will bring that. They're young players that are hungry. They believe that they are on the way to the top, and they're prepared to, you know, prove it to Zidane. And I think that sort of momentum and that attitude can only continue to enhance what they did last season.
Let's see if it is going to be the big two in Spain on that title race, or if a third or perhaps fourth will be able to join them. Atletico Madrid and Sevilla fell short of really getting into that title race, although we did think under Sampaoli that Sevilla might be able to maintain it. Let's dive straight into these two as well, because Atleti obviously in a new home this season. They won't be playing a home game until the middle of September, starting with their first three games on the road against the new boys Girona, Las Palmas and Valencia. Relatively comfortable start for Atletico Madrid in terms of their fixtures this season. They've removed some of the dead weight as well and got a fair bit of money back for it too. In terms of their expectations this season, Mark, what's the aim for Diego Simeone? League, Europe, both or nothing?
Well, I think it's the same as last year, isn't it? It's play for the league title until you know that you're not going to win it, which will probably be about week 10, and then get into Europe and focus on getting to the final again, which I think last season was relatively successful for them. It's going to be hard for a team like Atletico, especially with the transfer ban, of course. They haven't improved the side technically at all, have they? So maybe in January, if they're still hanging on to the top two, only got 5 points away, they might have a real go and have Diego Costa and Vitolo both in, perhaps. But yeah, it's going to be one of those kind of play it by ear seasons, I think.
Diego Costa at the moment throwing the toys at the pram, and to be honest, considering his attitude on the pitch and the physicality that he can show, I wouldn't want to be in the firing line of any of those toys at the moment. But he does want to leave Chelsea, does want to come back to Atletico Madrid. Is this a right move, though, for Atletico Madrid to bring Diego Costa back, Si?
I think he definitely embodies, you know, all of the fight, the determination, that Simeone spirit. But maybe it's the fact that if he's coming back to Atletico where he really felt wanted and he really felt comfortable, will he still have that same edge to him where he's coming home and he feels comfortable again? It's almost as if maybe Costa is a little bit more dangerous when he's being sort of forced to prove himself. He's already proved himself at Atletico. I think he'd be a very good signing, and I think if he's willing to commit before the end of this transfer window, it would be an exceptionally good deal because of, you know, the whole 6 months where he won't be able to play, won't be eligible. In that sense, it'd be a brilliant signing, and it would be people would obviously be waiting and expecting that when he comes in January, he will make that impact, and wherever they happen to be in January, he will help them kick on. So I think he's obviously going to score goals. That's undoubtable. And I think he also adds a little bit more physicality and fight to their forward line, which I think they've lacked a little bit. I think Gamera is a little bit tame. Griezmann, for his size, obviously likes to put himself about. He likes to trap back and get stuck in defensively. But yeah, I think he would offer some nice contrast up front. I think it'd be a deal that makes sense for the player, obviously. He said as much. And I think the club, they should, hopefully, after everything that's happened with Chelsea, they should be able to get quite a good deal for him. So on paper, it should work out. But when you return to somewhere that you were once loved, it can be a bit of a dangerous thing to do.
It's an interesting one with Diego Costa, because there's both he and Arda Turan apparently harking for moves back to Atletico Madrid. And you just think that, you know, Costa could walk in and, you know, he left on good terms with the club, be considered a bit of a hero. Arda Turan was booed and scorned by the Atleti fans whenever he faced them after leaving and departing back off to Barcelona. And him coming back, I think it would be a slightly different reception to the one that Diego Costa would get in terms of when he walks back out into that new stadium for Atletico Madrid, of course, no longer at the Vicente Calderon. There's also talks of Jan Oblak being in PSG's sights for a move. I mean, for Atleti, obviously, they have this transfer ban hanging over them. It's going to be a season, once again, where Simeone relies on this team spirit and this kind of war cry that Simeone is able to get out of the fans, out of himself and out of the team, to push them on to any sort of greatness if they're going to have it this year. I mean, I absolutely loved when Godin was sent off against Napoli and Simeone kind of coming back with this. I don't really understand friendlies, like the idea of them we should just be either, you know, having a proper game and getting stuck in, or not having a game at all. It just sums up the attitude around Atletico Madrid. But is that kind of passion, enthusiasm going to start to wear thin at any point? Because they've been riding that now for the last 3-4 seasons. And you just wonder, especially in a new ground, it's not that kind of old historic feel as the Calderon had. That could then just be a significant factor as well. Are they going to lose a bit of that fieriness that spurs Atleti on?
I think they'll have it for this season. I was at the Brighton friendly a couple of weeks ago, and they played, you know, the team that they played last year and pretty much the year before that as well. It was kind of like a best of tour. They were there with their greatest hits. Everyone knew exactly their little bit, and there was no new thing. And I think the worrying thing on top of that is that there aren't any kids coming through. You know, Luciano Vietto's come back on loan, doesn't look like he's going to be that far into the team. Matthias Kranovitter has left for Zenit. There isn't that kind of young blood that you would expect to make up for the lack of transfers. So yeah, they're left on the same thing, and I think it will test it, because this will be the last season that it happens. And I strongly believe that next summer, maybe even as soon as January, we'll see a new Atleti emerge, and maybe that'll be the one that Simeone isn't a part of.
That'd be interesting. It's been a conversation point around Atletico Madrid for the last couple of seasons now, how long Simeone's going to stay, and Griezmann as well, of course. It'd be interesting to see what his future holds in terms of whether he'll be looking elsewhere come January time. What about Sevilla then? Finished fourth. We had high hopes for them last season under Sampaoli. It didn't really quite work out the way they or any of us thought it would kind of go. Eduardo Berizzo comes in, though, from Celta Vigo. Had a very good season with Celta Vigo last year. Took them semi-finals of the Europa League and of the Copa del Rey. Drifted off, of course, in the league after they put all of their eggs into the cup basket, if you will. Berizzo is going to be a little different to Sampaoli, I think it's fair to say. What about the severe prospects for this season? They've strengthened at the back, bringing in Simon Kaja from Fenerbahce. They've added Luis Muriel in from Sampdoria as well in the front line, as well as Nolito. They've kind of done a little pilfering job on Manchester City with Navas returning as well to inject some pace into his legs more than anything, and into his career as well. It's a severe side that doesn't quite look as threatening, though, as last season, does it, gents?
For me, I find it quite exciting. I mean, they've not got that same Sampaoli sort of fire and spirit, and maybe that was a big reason why they made such, you know, a slant at the top two for so long last season. But I think Barrizo obviously did very well at Celta, both in the league and then with his Europa League run. You look at Corcho and Kjær, and they're both defenders that, you know, for a long while they've been quite highly regarded, and they've got them for bargain prices. And then you've got Banega, Muriel, and Nolito, all of those signings can promise goals. Banega, he promises to be an important link in midfield. I think you've got players like Joaquin Correa. I think he's going to have a very good season. And I think in terms of their squad, it's quite well balanced. So I think in terms of the fact that Atletico, they've sort of been forced to tread water with the transfer ban, I think Sevilla, even though they've lost Sampaoli, I think they might have arguably made a little bit of progress. And while they have, you know, had the likes of Jovetic, they couldn't get back. They've lost a, you know, an important captain, leadership figure in Ibarra. Rami's gone, Mariano's gone. It kind of just felt like cutting off some options, which, you know, were maybe aging a little bit, maybe getting to the point where they were expendable. And I think the deals have shown that even though Monchi's gone to Roma, there were clearly plans in place, and they followed on with that, and they've signed some very exciting players, I think. And under Barrizo, I wouldn't be surprised if they could leapfrog maybe Atleti, if Atleti really do fall off, say if they have some injuries to key players potentially, and they just can't really replace them with quality. I think Sevilla have got a lot more options, you know, a bit more wriggle room in that respect. So I would say that Sevilla, I'd maybe fancy them for third at this point, and even though it depends, you don't know how Barrizo is going to get on, it's definitely going to be exciting to watch, I think.
Mark, what about Nzogbia, expected as well to be perhaps making his departure? He was really big at the start of last season and then drifted off slightly, I felt, in the second half of the year after being you know, touted for a move in January to some of the bigger clubs around Europe. He's said that he does want to leave Sevilla and make his path elsewhere, away from Seville. Is he important for the Sevilla side to hold on to, considering that they have lost the defensive midfield ability of Vicente Ibora? To lose both holding midfielders like that would seem, it puts them in a tough place down the spine of the team. Or is this Sevilla side now that probably doesn't need to rely on him as much as they did at the beginning of last year?
Well, he's a class player. I think, you know, they, if they're relying on him, then that's not too bad a thing. And the reason that he's at Sevilla as opposed to Man United is his sort of mentality, his discipline, his temperament. And that might end up forced them having to, this, you know, if he's going to go to Juve or somewhere, it could be a deadline day deal. And then suddenly Sevilla, are, you know, we're talking about them having a much weaker squad than they had last year. So, you know, they're gonna try and hold out, but it's a difficult one with a player like Nzogbia, as I said, and ultimately, if they need to have some plans in place to have a quick fire replacement in, because if they do let him go with Ibora gone as well, that's a big hole in the centre of midfield to fill.
It'd be interesting to see what happens without the passion. We talked about Simeone with Atletico Madrid, Sampaoli, what he brought to the sideline and reinvigorating his side midway through the game sometimes. Although some people critical of him as a tactician last season with the number of changes that he'd make kind of early and in games, perhaps getting it wrong and having to backtrack midway through the game. But then if he got it right, I guess he kind of got it right. One name that would spring to mind to be able to perhaps fill in some of the shoes that Nzonzi might leave would be Condogbia, who's linked with Valencia at the moment. Let's look at the, kind of the best of the rest, if you will, from La Liga at this point. I'm kind of looking at Eibar, who've got a little bit of money coming in from Lejeune, who's gone to Newcastle United, but they've brought in plenty on free transfers, 8 new faces into their side after a successful season last year, and they might just be looking perhaps a little further up the table. Espanyol as well, and the Quique Sanchez Flores, who brought a bit more discipline to this side last year. They obviously had that run of clean sheets, I think it was 7 in 8 games at one point midway through the season last year, and were a much improved team under his leadership. Real Sociedad have brought in the exciting Yanezai from Manchester United to try and rekindle his career, and a bit of stability with Diego Llorente in at centre-back, despite losing Bechiche, who's gone to Paris Saint-Germain. And Villarreal have splashed the cash as well. £37 million spent at the moment from Villarreal in this transfer window, mainly on 3 players, in Fornals from Malaga, Semedo from Sporting at centre-back, and Enes Unal from Manchester City, and Valencia as well. Simon, I know you've been spending a lot of time in Valencia over the last few months or so. £14 million on Zaza, the man who is famous, of course, for a balloon penalty more than anything else against Germany for Italy. In terms of the best of the rest, then, behind that top four, because there was a big drop-off, but there was a massive scrap for the Europa League spots last season, who's going to be the teams that are dropping in and out, particularly with all the managerial changes that we've got as well this season in La Liga?
I think one team that could be extremely interesting that you've not mentioned there, and who have spent a fair amount of money, would be Real Betis. I mean, they lost Dani Ceballos, which, even though he'd claimed that, you know, his future was with Betis, that he was going to stay there and he didn't want to go to a bigger club because he might not play, suddenly that seemed to go out the window, and maybe it was having, you know, so many Real Madrid players in his ear at the under 21 Euros potentially, but they've signed quite well. I mean, they've brought in Victor Camarasa, who's very good for Alaves, Barragan, he solves a problem at right back, Andres Guardado, he's always, you know, been in and around some good teams. Budabuz comes in as the replacement for Ceballos, even though in his sort of presentation he said that he's very aware that he isn't Ceballos and they can expect, you know, something a bit different from him. And then they've got Christian Teo, Sergio Leon, who was very good even though Osasuna went down. Zouer Fadal at centre-back, who was really important for Pellegrino's Alaves at in the middle of defence. And then you've got Javi Garcia, who just came in yesterday. I mean, you look at that team, and with Setien as manager, obviously at Las Palmas he didn't have the sort of finances that he would like to sign the players he wanted, and now he's had some, you know, some faith put in him by Betis's board. I mean, it's looking good for them, and of course they've got their stadium finished now after the renovations, where one of the stands was closed last season. They've got about 47,000 confirmed season ticket holders. Everything's looking good for them, I think. And aside from that, I mean, I think Valencia, so much has been promised. Marcelino came in, I think that's absolutely the right man to get them back up to where they need to be. but he left Villarreal over transfer deals, and Valencia, they've not really made too many. They've got the goalkeeper that he wanted in Neto, but everything else was sort of sorted out before he took over at the club. And if he can't get in the likes of Kondogbia and maybe a couple more centre-halves, maybe a striker, he's going to be disappointed. And I think you look at their squad on paper and it's probably not good enough to be looking anywhere near the Europa League quite yet. I mean, they should be finishing top half, finishing, was it 14th last season? That's a terrible finish. But if he doesn't have faith put in him by his board, if they don't make signings as they've said they will, then Valencia could very much be, you know, a false dawn when they appointed Marcelino.
Are you saying that Valencia are a side that aren't really providing enough to their manager in the transfer market and spending, but expecting a hell of a lot to come out of their new manager that they've brought in? I just refuse to believe that that's the way this club would operate in any way, shape or form, because we've never seen them act like this in the last few years at all, Simon. I don't believe it.
it's well, yeah, I mean, it's basically like if you had a Formula One driver and you just sort of give them the same car every year and expect them to keep doing better and better and better while everyone else is upgrading what they've got.
Fernando Alonso, yeah, no, we know exactly what's happening with him and McLaren, to be honest.
Well, it's just a shame, because I think Marcelino is really, really the right man. And as I've said, he left Villarreal over arguments over transfer dealings. And I don't see why he wouldn't be having the exact same problems at the moment. I mean, Valencia are lucky to have, you know, the likes of Carlos Soler. They've tied him down to a long-term deal. Tony Lato, who came into the team from the Mestalla, he's come in and signed a new long-term deal. So they have got some good young players to work with. But I think what's more important is that the spine of that team doesn't really look really that impressive at this point in time.
What about for you, Mark, in terms of your best of the rest? Who are you looking forward to seeing kind of maybe try and push their way up the table? Obviously, Bilbao with the new man at the helm in Jose Angel Ziganda, if I'm saying that right, and I'm sure you will correct me. And, of course, Celta Vigo with Juan Carlos Unze coming in as well. Jesus, these are going to be bad names for me for this season, aren't they? I'm going to have to get Forvo out before the next episode to start getting these down phonetically for myself. Who is going to be in that kind of best of the rest, pushing perhaps to try and bridge the gap between the Europa League finishers and Bilbao as it was last season and everybody else in that middle pack?
Yeah, I'd have to say that Simon's bang on with Betis. I think they've got a really good chance this year. They've invested that Ceballos money really well. Manchester City reserves will be interesting to watch, or Girona as they insist on calling themselves these days. Going across the league, you've got... I don't think Athletic Club are going to be... You know, they're constantly battling it in a way. And if they can replicate last season with no signings and a new manager, that'll be very impressive. I worry for teams. Alaves have, you know, gone backwards in both their playing squad and potentially in their coach. Malaga have, you know, I think they've lost their four or five of their best players last year. And their replacements... Is Borja Bastón going to, you know, return to his form that he had in La Liga after a dodgy spell at Swansea? I kind of worry about Malaga a little bit.
Yeah, they've also lost seven of their eight friendlies as well, which can't be doing wonders for morale.
Yeah, exactly. They're the type of team that I think if anyone's going to start dropping down... Deportivo are going to be the same as they were last year. Pepe Mel will probably get sacked about November time. That seems to be how his career seems to go. And Villarreal are going to be, you know, they're going to be exactly the same as they were last season. They're still a good team. They made some decent signings. Fornals is a good player. They've kept hold of Castillejo. And maybe Real Sociedad can keep up their form as well on top of the Europa League.
Deportivo looking to try and bring Lucas Perez in, of course, trying to add some firepower into that front line. Apparently, club president Tino Fernandez is planning on getting into London in the next day or so to have a chat with Arsenal about bringing Lucas Perez back to La Liga. That might change a few attitudes towards them this season. Finally, the three new boys. What are the hopes of staying up for Levante, Girona FC and Getafe?
For Girona, I think it's a tough one. I think, to be honest, if their fans were maybe honest with themselves, they would probably expect to go down. I think it's quite a tough one when you have so many new players in at once, as is always seemingly the case with teams who get promoted into the Primera. It's obviously a bit of a gamble about whether everything will gel. And then when you mix that in with the fact that a lot of the players, they've come in from Manchester City, they've come in and they are young, you're not too sure what you're really going to get from them. I think Stuani and Bernardo, both from Middlesbrough, they're not too bad signings, I don't think, considering, you know, the stature of the club, this being their first season in La Liga. And I think Getafe as well, that they've brought in a lot of quantity, but it remains to be seen whether, you know, the quality is quite there. I think Velasquez is a good loan from Atletico. He'll be decent rotation option for them at centre back. Shibasaki on a free from Tenerife. He's a player that a lot of people have got excited about, and it all boils down to when he played against Real Madrid when they went out to the Club World Cup not too long ago. And aside from that, I do find it maybe a little bit hard to get excited about them. And then with Levante, obviously they won the Segunda by quite a margin. I think they might struggle for goals potentially. They've had some injuries in some areas which won't be doing them any favours at all. But I do really like Bardi that they have signed from Újpest in Hungary. He was with Macedonia at the under-21 Euros, and he was an unbelievably good player. They've signed him for just €1.5 million, and in pre-season he's already scored one extremely good free kick, so he could be one to watch for the season ahead, I think. But to answer the general question, I wouldn't be surprised if all three that came up went down. But at the same time, I think Alaves are one team that needs to be worried about how they might have, you know, started to roll downhill after Pellegrino and all of their loanees departing.
Can certainly tell that you were keeping an eye on the under-21s.
Yeah, you've absolutely had me on your niche knowledge there, mate. I'll have to come up with the Hungarian under-19 captain to beat that, I think.
I was going to say, I think we're going to be going back to the under-16s, under-19s, under-17s sorts of tournaments, having a look back at the highlights from the last few years to try and outdo Simon, I think, each week. That'd be quite good, actually, Si, if you could give us a under-21 star playing in La Liga each week to keep an eye out on. Now, I think you've dug your own grave with that one. That's a good job for the podcast throughout the season, mate.
It's a new segment, why not?
Yeah, Simon, the not only Simon the Brand Harrison, but he's the king of under-21 football as well when it comes to the knowledge in La Liga. Some horrific predictions to be made, which I'm sure we'll all end up eating our words come the end of next season. The top four in order, please, from each of you.
I'll start then. We'll have Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico, Villarreal.
Chuck it, Villarreal in. Out of the blue. Barely mentioned today. Why Villarreal?
Because their operation continuity from last season had a decent season under a new coach. Couple of good additions. I don't think Sevilla, I think Barizzo is a cup manager. I think they'll be a cup team again like they used to being. And yeah, Villarreal are just continually cementing themselves, if that's not too much of a pun with their stadium name, into the top four.
Fair enough. What about yourself, Si?
I'd go for the same top three, but I think Sevilla, I think they might have a bit more about them in general than Villarreal. If Villarreal do manage to close the signing for Carlos Bacca, then that could be interesting as a Soldado replacement. But I just really like Barizzo as a coach. I think they've got a well-balanced squad. And I could maybe even see them, you know, leapfrogging Atleti if they can't seem to push themselves on with the fact they've not had any new signings coming in until January. But yeah, I'd just go with the same top three and then Sevilla rather than Villarreal.
What about the top goal scorer this season? Start with you, Si.
I'd just have to go with Messi. I mean, he scored, 37 goals in 34 appearances last season, I think it was, in La Liga. Ronaldo's missing a few games, potentially. and then, just on top of that, I think Messi, he's, you know, got a couple of years on Ronaldo in terms of age. His minutes won't need to be managed like Ronaldo's will. So I just think, down to the fact that I think he'll probably make a lot more appearances over the course of the season, and the fact that the way things are going, Barca will just need to be playing him as much as possible to get the best out of their team. I'll just go with Messi, I think.
Fair enough. Mark, how about yourself? I assume it's out of Ronaldo or Messi for yourself.
Ronaldo's not going to play enough. He's going to be down to 25 starts next season, so it won't be him. Zaza? No, it's not going to be him. I mean, I can't look past Messi because I think Suarez is receding himself a little bit now, unless whoever they bring in to replace Neymar is a creator and can find Suarez in the box, you know, 4 or 5 times a game. I think it's going to be Messi as well.
Just to be massively outside the box, part of me really wants to say Gareth Bale or just step into those shoes and start banging them in, especially when Messi gets overused, tired and drained. just before the mid-season break, picks up a couple of knocks and can't handle it. Interesting as well, something I looked at where the fixtures came out a few weeks ago now. But Atletico Madrid play both Barca and Real Madrid away from home in between Champions League knockout games. Now, if Barca and Real Madrid make the knockout stages in the Champions League, and perhaps if Atleti are out by then, or even if they're not and they're still in that title race, those two games might just get a little easier for Atletico Madrid if Barca and Real choose to rest key players before knockout games and rest them in La Liga against Atletico Madrid. I just wonder, when we get to that latter point of the season, around about March time, that could be a little pivotal in the title race, or at least the race for that third spot behind Barca and Real Madrid. Be very interesting to see. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us on the show today. Always appreciate the time. I'm sorry, Mark, that we were meant to be down in London, but thankfully I've been able to finally pick up this chest infection that's been going around a few people that are close to me. So, very sorry about wasting your time, and I'm glad you didn't buy a ticket to already get down into the city to be able to record this. Simon, I'm sure we'll be catching up with you from wherever you land in Spain. I'm sure you'll be sunning yourself in Valencia for a few more weeks at some point this season. Very much appreciate the time, gents. Have a good one.
Thank you, Mac.
I'll see Mark on a flight out to Valencia.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of travels.
Yeah, we just worked out these two are on the same flight out to Valencia. September, is it, gentlemen?
Yeah, yeah.
We're both heading out there. Yep. So,
indeed.
Just lay off the screwdrivers on the EasyJet flight, just because A, they're very expensive, and B, you know, You got to represent the brand of Marker, I think, while you're on your travels. We will be back every single week throughout the season, and perhaps with some extra time podcasts as well in midweek, depending on the Champions League and midweek and Europa League action, of course. And we will be bringing you all of the news and views from around the beautiful game in Spain. It all kicks off this weekend with, dare I say it, the big one. Leganés against Alavés, Valencia against Las Palmas, both of them on the Friday night. Celta Vigo, Sociedad, Girona against Atletico Madrid. Baptism of fire for the new boys in their first ever season in Spain's top flight. Sevilla take on Espanyol, wrapping up the Saturday. And then Sunday, Bilbao, Getafe, Barcelona against Real Betis. Could be a very interesting tie to kick off the new season. Deportivo La Coruña take on Real Madrid. Levante meet Villarreal on Monday. And Malaga take on Eibar, of course, on Wednesday night as well, the second leg of the Spanish Super Cup, with that 3-1 away goal lead that they have, Real Madrid over Barcelona. No Cristiano Ronaldo, though. Can Gareth Bale step into those shoes and start scoring the goals? You heard it here first. We'll be back in a week's time. Have a very good week. Enjoy the football that's coming your way. We'll see you very soon indeed. Have a good one.